Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just said is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. It's travel day. Guys are on their way to the Redskins game. You're going to be leaving the show around 1 o'clock, so I'm going to have to do a solo at 1. But until then, everybody's here. Eric, Paul, Andy, and Doc in the booth. I'm not going.
Yeah, this is troubling.
I got things I have to do tomorrow, so I won't be able to go to the game. But I will be blogging during the game starting at 7 o'clock.
The curse words in full effect?
Yep.
What do you have to do tomorrow? Why can't you go?
Got things to do. So
this is quite a rarity.
I know, but it is a preseason game.
How many, Fred? When was the last game you didn't go to? I know there's been two or three for logistical purposes, but do you remember the last one you didn't go to?
San Francisco, or one of those.
Yeah.
It's one of those West Coast trips, right?
But even then, I thought he wasn't going to go, and he ended up going.
No, he was on the West Coast.
There
was
a
Raiders game that I slept on the floor of the office until you guys got here.
Yeah, one of those a couple years, three or 4 years ago.
And then there was a San Diego Charger game back in 97, I think I didn't go to for the same logistical type of reasons. And I think that's it.
Now you're just skipping them willy-nilly.
Well, yeah. So anyway, but I'll be watching and blogging at 7, and I need you guys to email me before just to, if there's any inactives or anything going on the field know about that I can pass along to the fans. Now, so everyone's all dressed up, but Eric, what are you wearing here? You look like one of the bad guys on a Dick Tracy comic. You got your black shirt,
and a black
polka
dot
tie, gray pinstripe suit. Yeah.
Exactly, Doctor. That's right.
Yeah, but even the mob guys don't dress like that anymore. That was back in, like, the 80s they dressed like that.
It's still a good look, Fred. It's
funny, I thought gay waiter, but whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that could go, yeah. Except for the pinstripe.
Good looks don't go out of style, Fred.
But that is a really...
good looks.
No, you look more like one of those old-style Dick Tracy villains, you know? Yes, exactly.
Tommy gun. Yeah,
the Tommy gun in the violin case.
Sure.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Is the tie tucked into the shirt just because you're eating lunch?
Because we're eating, yeah.
It's because he's a waiter. He didn't want to get in the soup.
I'm Andy Hart.
But that's also an alarming thing, Fred.
Reflection.
Fred,
what?
It's alarming that you're not traveling. It's more alarming that there's a free meal and Andy doesn't have a calzone in front of him.
Yeah, now tell us why you're not eating
today. You all know why. I have a digestive problem.
So you're afraid because you're getting on the plane after this that you're going to eat and then have to go to the bathroom.
I'm always very cautious.
Well, lucky for you,
it's
like a 45-minute flight.
But if it's coming, it's coming. The 45 minutes or 4 minutes, doesn't matter. It's coming.
He doesn't have control. See, like us, you know, we can take the pain, sort of, and wait till we get to our hotel room. He can't hold
it. Along Came Polly. Watch that movie when Ben Stiller starts going blub, blub, blub. And he's got to go. I had to go.
In Big Head's defense, too, it's more than a 45-minute travel. Because right. We'll be on the bus
6 hours on the bus.
Well, that's right. True.
You can't. I mean, even if once I wanted to do it in that little room, it would. Everybody would have to clear the bus. So.
Yeah, really, there's really no getting off. And
the guys in the back would not be happy.
Right. So it's best served that I do my normal.
And when Gil goes to smoke his cigarette, that, we're talking.
The whole bus will blow up.
Right.
Boom!
Exactly. That's a flammable
bus
situation.
5 exploded today at Gillette Stadium.
Follow up. Tom Brady was not on bus 5.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And I got to tell you, I think I told you guys about my learning disability, how I can't – certain things I just cannot remember. Tuesday, you guys are doing the show without me, and I was on the road. It's about 1:45, and I'm listening to the NFL on Sirius, and I hear that the Patriots had just traded Hochstein. I'm thinking, well, maybe they got it here first. I better call the show. I couldn't remember the number. I ended up calling what I thought was the number. It was the CBS Scene restaurant. So that's it. Really,
well,
is
you were
bad.
Close at least.
Yeah, it's bad. I can't help if something gets stuck in my head, I can't get rid of it.
But you've been doing this show for over a decade.
That's
now.
Right.
And the number hasn't changed.
That's
has
how
it?
Bad it is.
That's unbelievable.
It's just it's so.
You should carry that sign around with you wherever you
did
go.
Did you look instinctively, like, to your car window to the left there to see if the sign was on the window for the number?
No, but so I didn't get to call in. But you guys had the news anyway.
We did.
We did.
So Patriots have been busy with the transactions this week. And you know, I kind of asked around if they were getting ready, clearing cap space for anything, you know, any bigger move.
Did you get anything on that?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Got nothing. I just think they're doing a little house cleaning. I think, you know,
your guy,
the thing with for Hochstein, for example, you know, I can just see it happening. And I think Belichick talked about this a few weeks ago, where when you do have a relationship with another team, you know, you're in a conversation, they might have needed more depth on the offensive line, particularly at the guard and center spot. You know, we could save a little money. And so, yeah, you want to call it doing a favor for somebody, but it helped both teams. And because of, you know, the conversation, you learn the other team opens up about what they might need and you could help them. And I think that's all it was. I was a little, though, surprised with Hochstein because of his versatility. He's exactly the kind of guy that Belichick is always talking about wanting to have.
I was surprised, too,
but
for that very reason.
Up there in years and
yeah, it's the money.
Cost
it's
isn't
the money.
Terrible because it was a one-year deal, but he was getting up there and you need to develop another one of those guys, whether it's Ryan Wendell or Dan Conley or...
I didn't read it much about it. Was he one of those veteran minimums that didn't count as much on the cap?
So you're only going to save $100,000 or whatever it is, $150,000 if it's Ryan Wendell versus Russ Hochstein, right. $450,000, $310,000.
The other part of that, and you guys all know, you know, the listeners all know how much we like Russ Hochstein. First of all, he's a friend of PFW's, and he, you know, there's not that many of them. So we gotta embrace them. He's a true friend of the show and
by the day.
Of our TV show even. So we were sad to see him go. But I was stunned, Fred, and I don't know if you were back from your trip on Tuesday to hear any of the talk radio, but the amount of attention that this move got and people, not just the callers, the talk show hosts wondering how on earth could this guy only, quote, only have gotten you a seventh-round pick in return. He's the, you know, someone called him the most valuable offensive lineman they have. Well, he is a backup. I mean, again, no disrespect to Russ. We love the guy. But he's been a backup his entire career. And people are wondering how they didn't get more than a seventh-round pick for him. Yeah. I mean, with that in mind, I no wonder why they were so up in arms about the Matt Castle trade.
Well, the only way he would have gotten more is if a team really did have designs on using him a lot at fullback or something like that, you know, in a jumbo package or something. But, yeah, I think seventh or sixth round is fair for a guy like him.
Well, I think it's clear both of these guys were guys that were going to get cut or at least had a very good chance to be cut. They were in the conversation, and Bill says, if I can keep Wendell or whoever, and he's the same guy, and I can pick up a draft pick, why not do it?
Yeah.
So, I think that's what this was. It was another one team's garbage or trash that was going to be on the outside of the 53 looking
and
in.
And, you know, you forget about the fact that coaches have the trade at their disposal this time of year. You know, why wait to just cut a guy who is a veteran when if you know you're going to cut them, try to deal them and get something out of them.
Well, I think the Patriots always try to deal their guys.
Yeah.
But the hesitance is to add a guy this late in the process. Now, McDaniels probably has
a perspective, you mean.
Yeah. So the McDaniels probably has, you know, a similar system in place in Denver.
Right, exactly.
Well, I don't think it's just he knows him. I think he knows he can come into the system and fit in time for September. Whereas if he's going to wherever that has a totally different system, well, maybe it's not worth
it
because it's better to have a guy here who's not quite as talented but knows the system. We don't have to bring him up to speed. I think that's the biggest part of it. And any time of year for trades in the NFL other than the true offseason when you give them months and months and months to build into the system.
Right.
Now, you And you had big hopes this year, Fred, for Tank Williams.
Well, I'm very, very saddened and at the loss
hopes
of Tank
have been dashed.
Williams.
But not really
actually,
a loss.
I
asked him to leave.
The last few weeks or so, I figured this guy isn't going to do much.
Well, but I think a telling sign, though, to what he could have done was how highly Bill spoke of him in the press conference the other day.
Yeah, but no, he didn't speak.
For a player who's not here
he didn't
anymore.
Really speak about his playing ability because he couldn't see that. He just spoke about his leadership, his work ethic, all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but
you know,
still,
which is fine.
For a guy who's not here anymore.
But he also said, we haven't had a chance to see him play.
But if a guy was younger and not an injury issue, had the same praise, he'd still be here.
Probably.
Because that guy is named James Sanders or Ray Ventrone or whatever.
Right.
But at his age and his injury history, it wasn't worth it to pursue it.
Right. So that was kind of the transactional news, except for picking up Ortiz.
Little Poppy's back again.
You know, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
Is that just a numbers thing?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
I don't expect
Edelman
to be
probably not going to play. Maybe they needed some depth there for the end of the preseason, as Welker and Moss play less as things kind of peter out here.
Right.
You need some receivers. You need somebody to go out. So.
Right.
Yeah, based on that move, I agree with Andy. I would be surprised to see Edelman be on the plane with us today. And playing tomorrow night.
You don't think they'd want him on the sideline just soaking it in, just learning?
Yeah, well, maybe, perhaps, but, yeah, perhaps. I don't know how much you get out of that. I don't know how much you weigh. I mean, I don't know what his injury is. I have no idea. Now, Andy and I did see him walk through the locker room the other day, which tells you absolutely nothing.
Right,
but, you know, we've been fooled by the in-the-locker room, not in the locker
look
room.
Look good in the locker room.
Injury
well,
thing before.
He limped off the field against Cincinnati.
And he did not limp through the locker
And he wasn't limping through the locker room.
I've dubbed it a groin injury in my own head.
Right. I thought you were going to make fun of me with the whole, because I've fallen into the, well, he's in the locker room, nothing to worry about category, and then the guy's out for 6 weeks.
Because I think groin is the easiest to go from injured to walking fine, but still, if you tried to run, you would hurt it again and be limping again.
But he hasn't practiced at all since that game. And Welker played against Cincinnati, practiced for a day or two, and then he's been out for the last couple of days. So that's why, like he said, like Andy said, the Ortiz move. I think
thin
is,
at wide
they need
receiver
they need
right
some
now.
They need some bodies there.
Yeah,
and especially with a guy who's been here off and on for a year plus, who can just slide right in theoretically and make some plays.
Well, before we get into talking about this game coming up tomorrow night and who we think will play and how much and all that stuff, the other thing that the sports radio shows were talking a lot about on Tuesday were these comments by Tom Brady when asked about, you know, the contracts that have been signed recently. And Brady was very cleverly talking about how the league is in good shape from a financial standpoint, or it seems that it's in good shape from the amount of money that's being thrown around and the games being played in London and Toronto and Mexico and so on, that's a good sign for the league. And you know, a lot was made of that he was, you know, very cleverly, you know, positioning, you know, the case for the players in the upcoming CBA negotiations.
Yeah,
you know,
Fred,
what the F is going on out there?
You'll be happy to know, Fred, that as is usually the case, PFW was ahead of the curve on that.
Oh.
And we basically Andy and I spent a good hour anyway on Brady and had a lot of good back and forth with some of the listeners, some of the emails and stuff. Then Eric came in with his practice report. So Brady spoke on Tuesday before our show, so we got a chance to do a lot of that on the Tuesday show.
Good. All right. So then let's talk about the game.
Which we didn't talk about on Tuesday.
Well, that game.
No, not the Bengals game.
No, I know.
The Bengals game we talked about on Friday on Patriots.com. If you wanted anything Bengals game related, we did a full – Andy and I did a full podcast.
Well, we did get one, at least one email saying, oh, they didn't talk
about
the Bengals.
That's what I was
Bengals
joking about.
From a drunk person.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know.
They're obviously not well versed in all that we have to offer here in Patriots.com.
Just drunk.
But are you looking at a big bounce back from Brady in this game? I mean, are you If you don't see that, will you be surprised? And if you don't see it, will you be worried?
I'm not going to be worried.
No, and no.
But, I mean, I don't think he took a dramatic fall in that other game.
I agree with Eric.
You know, he missed a couple of passes that would have been touchdowns. But other than that.
He always does. Every quarterback always does. I mean,
other than that,
no one's perfect.
He looked okay
this time of year.
Took a couple of hits. He was fine.
And you're okay, right, Fred? You're not, like, sitting there saying, uh-oh.
No.
Okay. Because. No. Well, I just know that you had your sights set awfully high, saying that he looked better than he's ever looked before.
I think he's had the best training camp he's ever had, and I stick by that.
He's had a very active
one sentence after he said, is he going to bounce back?
He's going to have a bounce back. That's, I just wanted
well, I
to point that out.
I think in the game itself, he missed Moss. He missed
Welker.
Welker.
Yeah.
He was 5 of 10, I think.
Yeah. And those were the two most egregious.
Some of those fives weren't exactly
He was 4 of 8 in that game. He was 10 of 15 in the first game, and I think that he was similarly not as accurate as he normally is in both games.
Yeah,
I thought some of the completions in the Eagles game weren't Tom Brady-like completions.
Yeah, but then again, you know, if Galloway catches the ball that hits him in the arm, mm-hmm. he's got a touchdown.
Right.
That was a perfect
exactly.
throw.
Yeah. He was probably 10 of 15, just in the wrong 10 and
yeah. right, right.
15.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. I thought he had a bad throw to Baker that Baker made a nice grab on, pit ball behind him. I thought he had a bad throw to Moss on a slant that I thought might have been a really, really big play in that Eagles game.
But here's what I'm – you know, here's – I think arm strength he looks fine. I think mobility he looks fine. I think seeing the field, he's fine as far as, you know, the mental part of the game. He needs to get the rust off a little bit in the accuracy when he's under pressure. Which is, you know, to be expected.
Well, the thing,
and I think once he does that, it'll be fine.
And Bill talked about it a little bit this week too. Is the fact that this game is, and you know, the media makes a big hype about the third preseason game too, because the starters play most of the snaps in the game, but against this Washington team, which the defense is obviously their strength. They beefed up their D line in the offseason. They have some young, pretty good guys at corner. So this is a good team to have Brady play a lot of reps against, because it's a, you know, it's a good defense. It's a good team. And they're going to be playing most of the snaps, Brady's offense against that defense.
Right.
So I think that'll be the more telling thing, is to see how he operates against a pretty formidable defense this
sure.
early.
Sure. Now, one thing that I'll tell you, I was really, really upset. I don't know if it was, I think it was 2 days ago, Thursday, in the car again. I was in the car a lot on Tuesday, and, Ron Borges is on the radio with one of the local radio stations. I think it's the new one, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And he's saying that after Brady's podium press conference, he got to spend, you know, a good amount of time one-on-one with him at the locker.
He did.
And while he was talking to Brady, he told Brady that after the first hit, he immediately reached for his knee. And Brady said, oh, really? I did? I didn't realize that. All right. I go back to the tape and I watch both hits. He did not do that. And I think it was absolutely unfair for Borges to say that when
I agree.
It wasn't true.
I don't think he's the only one. I think a number of people who've been covering Brady and watching him have seen what they wanted to see rather than seen what was happening on the field before them. And I guess that's normal with a major star and a major injury coming back from, but I think they're seeing what they want to see rather than what the reality is
well,
on the field.
But here, you know, Brady's got a lot in his mind, not the least of which is coming back from this injury. And to be a reporter and to try to, you know, I don't know if he's doing it for malicious reasons or what, but to plant in a quarterback's mind that he reached for his knee.
Well, I thought it was the same thing in his press conference when Ron Borges said, you've been in the shotgun more than normal. No, he hasn't. Do we remember Matt Castle in the gun the entire
Yeah.
second half of the season last year? Do you remember Tom Brady in the gun more often than not in 07? And to Brady's credit, he said, well, I think in 2007 we were in the gun a lot. I like the gun. It lets you see the field, whatever. But it's like trying to make a story. Oh,
exactly.
He's in the gun so his knee won't get hit.
Exactly.
No, he's in the gun because that's what they do.
But I emailed the football operations just to so someone could tell Brady, in fact, he did not reach for his – because I think it was an unfair. I think it's unfair to plant that in the guy's mind when – first to plant it in his mind, but especially if it's not true.
Right.
What did you see on the video? Did he, like, grab his socks or, like, try to pull up his sock or something?
The second time he got hit, after he was up on his feet, he reached down to pull up his sock.
Maybe that's what Borges saw.
But that's even if that's,
and that's
what he's,
different.
But even if that's
all
what
guys
he saw,
do that because those stupid socks go down, and if they go down, you lose $15,000 for a fine.
What he said on the radio that he told Brady was the first thing he did when he got hit was reach for his
right.
Knee.
So he's doing what you said. He's seeing what he wants to see.
And
right.
That's absolutely not what happened. And just to make sure, I looked at both hits, the Gathers hit and the other kid, Rivers,
yeah,
Keith Rivers. Yep. I looked at both hits, and he did not do that. The second time, when he was both up on two legs, he reached down to pull up his sock.
Which also, by the way, is going to be an issue with a brace. There's a chance the brace could move a
sure.
slip
he's
or whatever.
Have to adjust
you have
it.
To adjust the brace at some point. But I really think if you watch players, they adjust those socks all the time because they're not natural. They don't
right.
stay up well. They don't stay comfortable.
Right.
And it's part of the uniform. You got to have it perfect, or you right. get in trouble.
So I just think that was really, really unfair.
I did too. I didn't hear that.
And again,
I think that was.
I think it's a
cheap.
It's a writer trying to inject himself in the story. Like I saw something that, you know, others didn't yeah. see or you didn't.
I had. I got in an argument actually. I forget
you did.
Diapers.
I'm really going to open
Babies
up myself for a shot here. I forget which show, but I had an But on that hit that you're talking about, Fred, the Gathers hit, he sort of rolled over on his backside, used his arms to pick himself up off the ground.
Right.
And the person that I was on with was contending that that was a sign that he wasn't comfortable with the knee and didn't want to roll onto his knee to get up.
At least
I thought that was the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And you know what? It is silly, but at least it happened. At least he actually did do that. But what Borges said, he didn't do. You know?
Plus, how do you know he's left-kneed? Maybe he's right-kneed and would get up with his right knee.
Anyway, I just thought that that was really unfair, and I had a...
Do we know he always rolled to his left knee before and got up that way? I mean... Have people done enough research to comment on these things? It's idiotic. People are seeing what they want to see. They're trying to stir the pot and make that right there is why people hate the media.
Yeah, I just thought it was really unfair.
I really think the only, and I don't think it really was part of the only question I have is whether the injury came into play was the deep ball to Moss down the left side that ended up getting picked off. But I still think
he
was a bad throw.
Oh, that one.
He threw it too high. It was like he didn't
follow
through
out. You're talking about the Eagles game. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like he didn't fall through out. He followed through up. It was too high.
He didn't step into
it. It looks like his mechanics may be a little bit
I just think
effective.
I wouldn't have noticed it if I weren't looking for it based on the injury. So it didn't jump off the field. Right, that's my point.
No, but it's I know what Andy's talking about. On that throw, he didn't look the same as he did on the other throws. And
but you're looking for it, too.
Exactly. And you're wondering why. That's
but
all.
Then at the same time,
certainly
in that game, there were plenty of throws where, man, he had perfect form. Stepping into the ball.
I think
you know.
He's fine. I think it's a non-story, personally.
I do, too.
It's so far in the past.
Me, too.
I mean, I think more of the story is after Moss and Welker, can these other receivers step out?
Right. Sure.
That's the story.
I totally agree with you. And that's one of our stories for the issue this week. Eric wrote about it.
By the way, in the issue that's coming out, Paul did a very nice, thorough job of breaking down the roster, who's on the bubble, who's on the in. What are you making the...
Well, he thinks Jake Ingram's going to stick around in some capacity.
Well,
he's got him as the long-snapping coach.
There's two long-snappers that obviously,
a lot of
in my mind...
coaches on this team this year.
Oh, yeah.
Special teams
Ventrone, Ingram.
In my mind...
Circumventing the cap rules.
Two long-snappers that have an equal opportunity to make the team. So I have no idea. I watch these guys. I haven't seen very many errant snaps. I don't think either one of them stands out as being much better than the other. So I said it's a coin flip, and he'll probably go with the veteran.
There was one.
That might be wrong. I don't know. Yeah. And then I said they'll probably try to find a way to keep Ingram around as a rookie.
Yeah.
And Andy's saying, well, what do you mean? How are you going to keep him around? I'm like, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to write.
The Hellenic
flu. They're going to give him the Foxborough flu.
Right. Now, there was one guy that I – probably agree with you that's on the bubble, but I think he really helped himself in the Bengals game, and that's McGowan. I thought he was very active.
McGowan could make it.
Yeah.
I thought you had him making it. I thought he was your fourth safety.
I think you had him on the bubble.
Yeah, I think he's out.
Oh, really?
Well, you have Ventrone.
Because you wanted me to put Ninkovich on. Some of this, by the way, this is like a team effort, too. Before you guys all throw me under the bus.
I'll let you know if it's a team effort in about a week. If you go 52 of 53, it was team PFW.
I will say this, and I'll say it beforehand because I don't want to be accused of giving 20/20 hindsight. If Ninkovich makes the team, Andy will get credit for accurately picking that. And he made a very good point when they let go of Hochstein. Ninkovich has done some long snapping in his career. And Hochstein was the backup long snapper. So you might want to have another guy around just in case. Has played tight end. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he has the athleticism to do some of that in a pinch and some fullback.
I would say that's very astute.
That's pretty good.
So I'm giving Andy the credit for it beforehand, not after that.
Which means he's going to say, you screwed up my thing because Ninkovic is going to get cut and he'll blame me for it.
No, I won't. It's impossible to give him a compliment.
Right.
It's impossible. His head's just too big already.
McGowan did impress me in the late stages of that game.
But that was one of the few, and
it might be because the tackling was so horrendous around.
Yeah,
he was
tackles.
One of the few guys that was and making he, solid contact.
That's his game. And I talked to him early in camp, and he says he likes to play really recklessly and throw his body around and get around the line of scrimmage and stuff. But it probably was a little bit hard for a guy who likes to play like that. There's probably some instinct and freelance to that style of game that he's not able to do without knowing the system really well. He played in a Tampa 2 in Chicago. He said there's absolutely no similarities between what the Patriots do and what he did in Chicago.
Plus he was hurt. He missed, and he was coming off an injury. And we saw him getting reps, and we were like, oh, we'll have to keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
And then he missed an extended period, and he kind of got forgotten about.
And we haven't seen him in a lot of the reps with the other regulars.
Right.
And that's why I think he kind of fell off the radar a little bit in terms of PFW. But I think if he said he was really struggling at first with all the terminology in the system and trying to get up to speed. But maybe he's done that a little bit better, and now you're seeing the guy play a little bit more instinctively rather than –
I'm starting to get worried. Bub is going to get
hurt. How?
I think there's a chance of
well,
that.
Well, this is what I'm leaning up to, but how is McGowan on special teams?
He can play.
Because
I think he has the
prototype. I mean, he's an athlete, you know, who can run and
that
tackle.
Because I think if he can play well on special teams, Bubba might be in jeopardy.
I think Bubba might be in trouble.
Listen, if they're going to have, and the way I set it up is, you know, there's an extra running back. Ended up not being the extra tight end, but there's a possibility of that. If you're going to keep extras at certain spots, then you're not going to be able to have guys like Ventrone who just play special teams. You're not going to be able to have a lot of those guys. And, you know, the linebackers, Sean Crable is a big...
I would love to cut him.
He's a big question mark in that linebacker crew because you don't know where he is health-wise. He hasn't, you know, Eric's at practice every day. He's not out there.
From my perspective, if I were the coach, and obviously our perspective is limited to practice time, we don't see everything, but I'd feel bad giving him a roster spot. It's like, it's totally on potential. It's totally on you drafted.
Yeah, it's undeserved.
He has done nothing for you to say he deserves a roster spot. And that stinks for somebody like Ventrone or whoever gets cut because Crable makes it.
So we'll see.
But it's always one of the more enjoyable exercises that we do. We don't do it with the intentions of going 53 for 53.
We always have some surprises, work in a few that are wrong.
Well, you know what? And there's a surprise cut in there, and I'll let everybody read it when it comes out. And as a guy, I really honestly, if you put a gun to my head and said, you think he's going to get cut, I'd say no.
Yeah.
But I put him out.
But, you know, Andy, you make the good point, and Belichick talked about it yesterday. You really do need to know all the things that these guys can do before you have a legitimate shot at creating this roster. Because if you didn't know that Ninkovic could long snap,
You would probably
that's a huge factor.
And you know what? That's an advantage that we have, too, as PFW. You know, we found that out because we do something during training camp. We call it getting to know.
Right.
And we have some kind of silly questions, some little bit less serious questions about, you know, music and entertainment and stuff like that. But you also find out about some, and we like to target veteran free agents that maybe, you know, not Sean Springs and Lee Bodden, guys that flew under the radar that you just kind of pick up along the way. And Eric and Andy have been interviewing these guys all through camp. Ninkovic was one of them. That's how we found out about the long snapping stuff when Andy talked to him. So sometimes, you know, the strangest, you know, ways of going about getting a morsel of information.
Right.
That's the beauty of PFW, Fred, because no one's insignificant to us. All the 80 guys out there we're talking to.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. 508-543-7482. And on the phone right now is Steve in New Hampshire. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Excellent. Hey, first of all, I just want to say thank God you guys, and, you know, Paul just said it, you guys give the absolute best feed of being a Patriots fan to feed us. That's brilliant. And
thank you, Steve.
Part of me is like, all right, Russ Hochstein, absolutely Hochstein. You know, it was like great player, but you know, gotta, you know, if it was, if Bill chose to let him go, he let him go. But as far as this year, I got to go with you, Fred. At the moment that draft was made, because everybody feeding into it, we all thought linebackers, linebackers, linebackers. And part of me was like, nah, a little unsure, because I really like the fact that Bill held on to Guyton and Crable and, you know, these understudy guys that were on the practice squad or been here a couple of years but weren't starters. And I went, no, he knows what he's doing. And then when that draft went through, I went, you know what? He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And then the trades that were made, bringing, you know, Sean Springs, Bawden, it's impeccable. Fred, I'm so with you. This team, I think, and I'm, you know, I was born in 1960 when the Pats started. I honest to God believe this is going to be the greatest year of a football team that I witnessed.
Wow.
That's my personal belief, you know, like when, you know, you jumped on at the beginning of the year going, no, this team, you know, this is it. And it's not, and my thing is, it's not like, you know, 2007 where they broke all the records, undefeated, all that stuff. That doesn't matter. They can lose games this year. But I think this team truly is going to be absolutely around the, you know, all three sides, baby, you know. Offense, defense, special teams.
Well, you got Scotty O'Brien now.
We're going to see the best team we've ever seen this year.
Well, you make my expectations small. I just think they're going to win the Super Bowl. You think,
oh, no, yeah. I know they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I was at Super Bowl 36, baby. You know, it's well, like I was out in San Diego and Troy Brown stripped that ball. I saw it live.
Yeah, I'm going to go like, with Steve. Can we just skip the season and just go right to February?
I'd like to.
Yes.
I think like this is the best team we are ever going to see. I think Fred Taylor... If Lawrence Maroney has any chance of excelling in the NFL, it's going to be because of Fred Taylor this year. Fred Taylor did the same thing. You know, we all know it. You know, he was injured early in, you know, his career, but he's had an excellent career. So his best thing coming in here this year, he's going to pound. I think he's going to be the big surprise. And I said it the second we got him, I went, oh, my God, this is brilliant. You know, and I think he's going to teach Lawrence Maroney the mindset. I think Lawrence Maroney's problem, the only problem he has, he's gifted, but I think it's mentality.
Well, we all agree with you, I think.
Right.
But that's
and
a big
Fred
problem.
I think Taylor's going to give him
he could.
That mentality that he needs, that maturation he's going to get out of Fred Taylor. I honest to God believe that.
I agree. But
I think he's got one shot, and it's this year.
I agree. I think if he doesn't get it this year, Maroney, he's never getting it.
Right.
He's never getting it. He's got,
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, kick
he's
ass.
He's got one of the greats around him. And this isn't Corey Dillon around him who, you know, could be, you know, kind of
cantankerous.
Yeah. This is Fred Taylor around him who is a consummate veteran.
Absolutely.
And, you know, He's got Sammy Morris, another pro football player,
mentally pro.
Right,
you know?
He's a professional,
just pro, consummate pro.
And so if he doesn't get it with this cast of characters around him, he's never going to get it.
100%.
Yeah,
but so. I just wanted to say, I haven't called in a while, whatever, and I hear Paul on that other station, which
one?
I don't really care about, but. But I love hearing you guys, honest to God, 100%.
You're on the Sports Hub tonight, Freddie.
He's in, like, Springfield Community Cable Station tomorrow. He's everywhere.
Tomorrow night, Freddie.
Where?
On the Sports Hub.
You're on the Sports Hub tomorrow.
Pre-game. It's my turn. Andy went on last week.
Who are you with?
The pregame show.
On the pregame
show. You're all just
show.
Becoming rock and roll stars, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. I got to keep
We won't forget about you, Steve.
Good
no,
Lord,
you know
I
what?
Would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
No, but the truth is, every one of you guys, and especially the paper, I mean, you know, Eric, Andy, the last issue was awesome. Andy, you had a couple of great articles in that.
Thank you.
And honest to God, you guys, I mean,
it
goes without saying. You can't, you know, if you're a football fan, I couldn't even fathom being, you know, another. Thank God I was born in frickin' Stoneham, Mass. I don't understand how you could be any other fan and not have the ability of what you guys give us between the paper and especially the show, because it's just a riot. Anybody I tell, I go, they go, where do you learn all this crap? I go, go online, you morons. It's like PFW. It's like
that
so
should
simple.
Be our.
There you
and,
go.
Go online, you morons.
No, but they don't get it. It's like, no, I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys, you know, whatever, you know, having lunch and shooting the crap. And it's
that's the Dale and Holly show.
So if we're the
brilliant.
View, is Paul Starr Jones?
God, it's brilliant because it's, you know, you're pounding down chicken wings and fried dough and going.
I heard a lot coming from
you. Yeah, whatever, football. and everything else that goes with it. So
All right, Steve. Thank you so much.
All right.
That's great.
Thanks,
love
Steve.
You guys.
All right.
Very nice.
That's Steve in New Hampshire.
It
Very
is 12
nice.
O'clock somewhere.
That's nice. No,
it's 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock
here. I know. I think he started about 4 hours ago when it was still 12 o'clock somewhere.
Are you saying that no one could possibly like and appreciate us that much without some sort of inebriation?
He's a pretty happy guy.
He is. He's a good guy.
He's excited.
From Stoneham.
He's excited.
Frickin' Stoneham.
Thank God.
Steve thinks it's going to be the best Patriots team ever. Not necessarily undefeated, but solid football.
See, I like that because most people think that if they don't go undefeated, it couldn't be the
right.
best team ever.
Well, I was going to say, it's going to be hard to top 07 unless... Right. You know,
the 85 Bears were not
top 07, actually.
You know, the 85 Bears weren't
win
undefeated,
the ring.
But they were one of the greatest teams of all time. You know?
Right.
They don't win the ring.
Right.
Don't mean a thing.
Yeah, but if they go 9-7, sneak in and win the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, that would be hard to
that
compare.
That would be great.
You know?
It'd
be great
really
that they won the Super Bowl, but it'd be hard to compare that to 07.
Oh, of course.
Good, Eric.
What if they go 9-7? What if they go 9-7, and that means they'd have four postseason games.
Four.
Probably at 9-7.
Yeah,
hard to see like not having four.
Definitely four.
What if they score like it's like 165-10? They outscore their opponents running through the postseason. That it was just one of those things they lollygagged through the season.
Still can't consider.
I can't consider it the best team ever.
Really?
No,
I wouldn't.
Patriots team. I'm not saying the best team.
No, I'm saying Patriots.
Nope. No.
Okay. WBC.
I mean, basically, that's what the 2004 team did, and.
Right,
they didn't lollygag through the regular season. They went 14-2.
Fox News doesn't even know that Hyannisport is one word.
I've seen that two words in a lot of different places.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's one
word.
Yeah,
I know. Well, I know that I wouldn't dare question Mr. Cape.
You actually did some time on the Kennedy compound, right? You spent hung out a
little
bit there.
I painted the trim on one of the houses.
God
Did
bless
you really?
You got some trim?
I was just kidding. But
no.
What?
A buddy of mine went to Brown the same time John Jr.
was there.
And he got the gig.
Telling you, there's a movie here.
They had
a story about everything.
They had a big
True or not, who cares?
They
it's
had
a movie.
It's Forrest Fred.
You know, they're right on the ocean.
Run.
But they had, they had this big mud hole, and the kids were playing in the mud hole instead of the ocean. I couldn't understand it.
That's what kids will do.
And there's kids everywhere. I don't even know who they are.
Neither do they.
Family, right? You weren't exactly a member of the family. Why would you know who they
too
are?
Too soon?
You're
too
the freaking painter.
Too soon for Kennedy jokes.
No.
All right. Web
no, we're in the phase where he's the greatest American that ever lived. You've been making fun of him
for
40 years straight,
far.
And now he's the greatest American that ever lived. I can't wait to die so people like
that.
Me.
That won't happen. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
What he said.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And just to remind everybody, these guys are going to be leaving at 1 o'clock.
So make sure you keep the calls coming in for Fred. Keep the emails coming. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, you need to ask for a little extra help.
Be kind. Don't do what you do to me all the time when I'm by myself.
I've done.
Just help Fred out.
I've done shows on my own.
Are you going to bring the interns down?
No. You need a little help. If the emailers and callers help you out, it'll be a fine show. If not.
Fine show. It's going to be a fine show.
I have a lot of emails already in.
I know, but who's going to answer them?
What do you mean, who's going to answer?
I think it was a pretty simple question.
Well, he started answering, then he realized, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You could call in from the bus.
I could.
I don't know the number.
I would be able to do it because I actually do know the number, but I'm not going to.
We'll be sporkling. Although we might not be because the FBI guy's not coming.
Do we have a...
if you had my iPhone, you could do the...
Do we have an air card?
We could do that trivia. That sucked.
I do. I have the air card in the bag.
So
I'm not sure we want to be running up a
No, we're not
air
using
card
the air
bill.
Card.
Can't use the air
trivia.
Card?
It's like $1 a minute.
Come on. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's what?
It's that much?
Yeah.
It's really expensive.
$1 a minute?
I don't know if it's that, but it's expensive.
Well, you should just get rid of it then. It's of no value.
Use it for an emergency. That's what it's for.
What emergency?
Not to entertain your ass.
We're at the combine and we need to post something. Okay. You wouldn't know about that, Paul.
But that's an emergency. That qualifies. What else?
What if to do your job?
Because on game day, like in Philadelphia, I wouldn't have put the ear card in when we couldn't get on the internet. I didn't need the internet to do my job.
But if by chance we needed to send a story, if we did one of those weird overnights where we had to send a story.
Like if a hurricane blew through and we had to be stuck
somewhere. I had no
idea
it was that expensive.
Yeah, you're lucking out, by the way. This Danny boy might be an issue for us.
What are you talking about? It's supposed to hit that portion of the East Coast
between like midnight and 3 a.m.
You think we're going to have a hard time getting back
in? I didn't even know there was another one coming, really?
Yeah, yeah, something coming in.
It really,
wait a minute. The last one was really quick. Yeah. What happened to C?
There was already a storm, I think, with the C label.
Really?
And
you can't say the C word. You got to move on to D.
Okay.
I'm having a very Andy-like show so far tonight.
Is there yelling going on?
Yeah.
What the hell? What's going on over there?
Tamash and...
yelling in the...
Excuse us. We're trying to do a radio show over here.
Guys,
we're talking about the Patriots.
Guys, in the control
we have a little quiet? Can you run it for me?
The out of control.
No. You have no idea what you're talking about, do you?
No.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but no.
Wow.
You suck.
Speaking of cantankerous...
All right, let's talk about the game coming up. Brady has already intimated
that mic better not be off.
He will be getting a lot of time. In this game, they try to simulate the entire game as much as possible. So a lot of times the starters come out in the second half after they cool down to just kind of get used to coming out of the locker room after a half of football. So we could be seeing Brady into at least the early parts of the third quarter in this game.
Or he might not play at all.
I'd expect to see that.
Yeah,
I'd expect to see him into the third quarter.
I don't expect that.
First game, Maroney.
I don't have expectations on these. I never know when Bill's going to buttonhook me.
First game, Maroney got the start. Second game, Fred Taylor. Does Sammy Morris get the start?
I'm going to say no, since he hasn't practiced in a week and a half. See, that's the kind of stuff that you're not going to be able to answer.
Answering the emails might become an issue.
Well, I'm busy. I don't get to go
I didn't say you're not. I'm just saying you might not be capable of some of the answers you're looking for.
So who starts at running back tonight?
Maroney again tonight?
Yeah. Boney Maroney.
Right.
Yeah.
With a good dose of Taylor in there, too, I think.
Lawrence Boney Maroney.
Do you think they go out with... And show a lot of the spread stuff and
run the ball right at the defensive line.
Really? That's the biggest
this
test.
Might be
yeah,
like
Brady's
that.
Not going to want that. He needs
if he's
to...
playing three quarters, he's going to have a chance to throw the ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, Brady's going to throw. Yeah. I'm just saying, is he going to throw? I mean, he threw a lot in Philly. He threw a lot against Cincinnati. But it was a totally different way.
My offensive line against a $150 million defensive line.
This has all the earmarks of that Carolina preseason game in 07. They had a stout defense, especially the defensive line. New England came out and ran the ball like 15 straight times to start the game.
And Gil Santos knew then.
I knew that they were going to go undefeated until the last 17 seconds of the Super Bowl. And that was going to all unravel.
What he said?
Holy Toledo!
All right.
So I think
they might not do that, but...
No.
At the Giants Super Bowl in Arizona, Gil and Gino came on with us.
Oh, yeah.
And he went through this long, elaborate, detailed story of him knowing... the third preseason game in Carolina when they ran the ball 15 times in a row that they were going to go undefeated. You don't remember when he said that?
I vaguely do.
It took him
that whole week kind of
longer than any story
right
I have ever told.
Fred tuned out halfway through that story.
If they had won that game, I would have remembered everything about that week. But
you have repressed memories.
Right, exactly. Defensively, Burgess, what are we looking for him?
Andy, you talked to Burgess yesterday for a little bit. Did he give you any indication of his comfort level?
It's not there yet. He didn't say he was uncomfortable, but he said he's still learning. Didn't want to put any kind of percentages or where he's at, but still admitted he's unsure of what his role will be or how he's going to be used.
I think that's interesting, too.
I do, too, but I think they're unsure of what his role is going to be. I certainly would be, because if you penciled him in as elite edge pass rusher, we haven't seen that yet.
If you thought his role was going to be what they've done with him so far... you might be looking at plan B.
The one thing I will say is he does seem to, like Bill did when they got him, he seems to describe himself as a football player more than a pass rusher. And, you know, we like to pigeonhole these guys in as, you know, he led the NFL in sacks, 27 sacks over a couple of years. And I even threw at him the Roosevelt Colvin stuff when he used to say he'd much rather have a sack for a one-yard loss than a 20-yard tackle for a loss on a running back. He wanted the sacks. He laughed at that. He's a football player. He's intrigued by the defense, all the people around him, and what they can be, but he doesn't know what his role is going to be yet and is still trying to get his feet underneath him, so to speak.
This Philadelphia-Indianapolis game that's on NFL Network right now, is this from last night or last week?
Last week, I think.
Okay. They played last week?
I think so, because wasn't...
Yeah, the Eagles played today.
Vic's supposed to play tonight.
Vic is playing
tonight's supposed
tonight,
to be
tomorrow,
his action.
Whenever, right in the next day or so.
Okay.
Remember, he didn't make this trip. That was the whole story, and why he wouldn't.
Make the trip to the second preseason game. I just didn't know where it was.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com.
You want to go over special teams?
508-543-7482. Why, you got something to say about special teams?
Well, you covered offense, defense. I mean, Edelman might not play, punt return,
kickoff
return.
I wanted to get to offense, Andy. What do you
think? There are roles.
Eric, you brought up the Carolina game a few years ago, which was interesting. What do you think they're going to do offensively? Do you have any idea? You want to see them go against the $150 million defensive line.
Who?
The Patriots offense. You want to see them go against, run it right at them.
Sure.
If when they throw, do you think they're going to be throwing kind of like Philadelphia out of multiple sets or like Cincinnati in a specific spread, kind of five wide,
no,
some
I
hurry up?
I think you're going to see all of them. I think you're going to see more of a series-to-series difference in the offense, maybe dabbling in different
things. But maybe only a hurry-up in a hurry-up situation if they get it late in the half.
Or force it in for a short period if you need to force it in.
Yeah. If they get a turnover like around midfield, maybe they'll go into a hurry-up mode.
And I apologize for that indiscretion.
6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Yeah, everything you've read is lies. The only one that's telling the truth is me. Everybody else is lying.
I didn't see that yesterday. I guess he had another whole rant again yesterday.
Yeah, and he said, everything you've read, it's all lies. The only person telling the truth is me. Really? The only one?
If that were true, it would be a first.
Wow.
He's a
sleazy as they come.
Every stereotype that you can say about a college basketball coach, he fits.
PC.
Used car salesman, snake oil, slippery, schemer, liar, manipulator. They're all true for him.
He should have never left Providence, Paul.
Ego driven.
Should have never left Providence. Ego.
Way back in the day when Calhoun used to kick his butt on a regular basis in the big NUBU battles.
Big?
Yeah. I long for those
days.
That
was as big as a gut for NU.
We long for anything that involves Northeastern.
We never had sold out crowds since. We used to sell a place out for those games. Perry Moss.
Yeah, Fred, move on.
William Berry writes in
Bill, my favorite emailer.
Another cryptic email.
Yeah,
aren't they all?
He's very Eric-like. You can never really exactly know what he's talking about.
He says
he's
more
too
than
intelligent.
Once, more than once, someone has brought up
that.
A verboten topic.
Verboten? See? No. I told you he was Eric-like.
No, I won't mention examples, Mr. Poulayan. Sometimes in response to legitimate questions. Can you reply with a Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing, or something so longtime listeners know but you won't say? It'll make some people sleep easier knowing the team knows and is doing something about the concern, they'd just rather not tell everybody.
Which concern are we talking about?
I don't know.
In other words, he's saying, if we know something.
The last show.
But we can't say it. If we could say, I know nothing, that would let everybody know that we do know what you're talking about, but we can't really talk about it.
But I don't know if there was a particular
who's
issue.
Who's
going
to play fullback in the light of Russ Hochstein's trade?
Yeah.
Is there another lineman or so?
Yeah. I know nothing.
Right. Last show that came up, and
but in terms
I just said
of
a name. And he said a
in
name
terms
that
of
he probably
for the organization's
have.
Betterment, I don't know that's up to you, Fred. I mean, I would think that you would know things that are going on behind the scenes that you can or can't talk about.
Right.
Football wise, yeah, we could throw the fullback thing out there as an example of we saw some stuff at training camp, but we're not really supposed to talk about that.
But we can't talk about the office affairs or anything like that.
Right. So I guess it's an I, yeah.
So he's saying
I know nothing.
We need to throw a...
Who's she sleeping with? What?
Right. Yeah. We need to throw some sort of secret code word out there when we do know something that we don't want to give away.
Look, all of a sudden, Doc's interested. Office affairs?
Affairs?
Ooh, what? Where? Yeah.
You got any to offer?
Yeah, nothing.
I'm not surprised.
Well, your department is where they all happen.
Oh,
it's like this is
it's like a brothel in that marketing.
Oh,
my God, everyone's sleeping with everybody over there.
Is this another one of those things where you forgot that there's a microphone in front of you?
You were supposed to say, I know nothing.
Yeah, that was a good example of that. That's verboten, Fred.
Right. No, it isn't. We can say that.
Really?
Sure. Why not? Right. Why not?
I'm really starting to wonder, what can't we say?
There's been a few marriages that have come up.
Yeah, but that's okay, right?
What?
If it ends in marriage, it's okay.
I guess so. I don't know.
Unless it broke up another
There was
marriage.
A cheerleader who...
Only in the preseason you see a number six going down.
Go ahead.
Can you save him from himself?
There was a cheerleader who...
I guess not.
Tried out for the team, made the squad, and met a player shortly after that, and called the cheerleading director the next day and said she quit. Because obviously there's rules of no fraternization. That woman became Mrs. Sam Gash.
So, okay.
It happens.
Brings a whole new meaning to.
Oh, Andy.
Oh, see now.
Oh, stop.
Now that's the kind
of didn't say anything.
You always go.
Why do you
eight steps
do that?
Beyond where you should.
It's funny. That's not the person I was thinking
that's
of.
It's not the person I was thinking of either, because that player is no longer on this team, the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, the one I'm
and
thinking
that
of still on this team. Oh.
As opposed to Sam Gash, who is still on the team?
No. I'm talking to – no. Yeah, my
There's
bad.
Been others.
You're right, my
There's
bad.
Been others. Yeah.
I meant a current player who's no longer on the team.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah.
I don't know really any of those stories, the cheerleader stories.
I mean,
cool, because that's kind of what I'm interested in.
Oh,
gossip.
I didn't know that.
Gossip in general.
Oh, we all love gossip. With a view. With a view for men or whatever.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I do watch The Gossip Girl.
So who are you? You and I
makes
are.
Me Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I think.
Who am I?
Shortest, you know, conservative from Rhode Island.
Because you're Barbara
Hello,
Walters,
obvious.
Right?
No
talent. I'm Barbara Walters?
Yeah, you're the oldest.
I didn't really mean to.
You're
offend
the,
there.
You're the doyen of the group.
I'm 80.
You've already dubbed me Star Jones.
Well, you're Star Jones.
You're the doyen of the group.
Who am I?
You're who's again? Joy Behar?
Joy Behar, yes, the annoying one that everybody hates.
Right,
that's
right.
True.
No, that would be you then.
No, that
you should read PFWProgress.com.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck, short conservative from Rhode Island. That's me and her.
You're not conservative.
My girl.
See, you like to make yourself out to be a conservative.
That's true.
You're really
she is the most feminine on the show, and
so
you're the
yeah,
most feminine
right.
on this show.
Exactly.
You untucked your tie.
And I sometimes say the F word.
Who's that? Oh no,
who's that?
That's a former member of this show. Just like she's a former member of that show. Rosie?
Now, I really do like the get-up, though.
Thank
Eric.
You, Fred.
You look like Machine Gun
Scalabino. I should have brought the fedora. Then I would have completed the outfit.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah,
like
good,
it.
He says.
Is that silk, too, the tie?
It
looks very
Eric
shiny.
Machine Gun Scalabino.
Yeah.
I think that's
100%
girls'
underwear.
It's kind of gay.
Yeah, I agree with Wes.
Are you wearing underwear?
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know. You going commando?
You need to ask.
You have a thong that matches that?
Yeah, I got it from your wife's drawer.
Oh, whoa.
You
this morning when I kicked her out of bed.
Listen,
oh,
you should have said you got it when your wife left it at my house last
yes.
night. That's what you should have
right.
said.
Instead
you always
of sneaking
bungle.
In the night and stealing
right.
her,
instead of you being
going
a creep.
Her panty drawer.
You were a creep.
Everyone already assumes you're a creep.
You idiot.
So I have to take back that good, Eric, that I gave you earlier.
Okay, we should probably take it back. Get to a couple emails
there.
Before we leave in 6 minutes.
Before you're subjected to 60 minutes of this to close the show.
Sandy Moore is going to start.
Christian,
well, if they wheel him out of hospital.
Christian is from Denmark, and he writes in, just watching clips on NFL Network on the 08 season, and a question popped up from Marshall Faulk, who I normally think is an idiot. However, the question was, if Matt Castle took the Pats to the Super Bowl and we won, what to do? A, trade Brady for every single pick that a team could have and a bag of footballs, thereby keeping Castle a case of humble pie. B, trade Castle, trusting that Brady will be okay, saving cap room potentially. Or C, keep both and have a really good one-year backup. So if
trade Castle,
the Castle team had won, what would you have done?
Trade Castle.
You still say trade. Now it's easy to say that now, but... What would you,
listen,
you
know,
I'm pretty consistent.
I said
I'd
this,
like to keep Brady for a decade.
This is no. I understand what Andy's point is. He's pretty consistent on that. But I said this last year: win or lose the Super Bowl, I don't think Castle's the quarterback that Brady is. I don't think you know it takes much analysis for that. But I think that he was a quarterback that proved good enough to win with.
Especially
how
if
much
win the Super Bowl?
I mean, now if he had won the Super Bowl, now you know he can win. Even without having won the Super Bowl last year, if someone wanted to come to me with a silly Herschel Walker-type trade, I would have been absolutely listening with Brady. 3 ones and 3 twos
yeah.
for Brady,
you have to.
I would have
to.
Been listening
you
to
have
that.
To.
Yeah.
Topic came up
but
on
short
Real
of that,
Radio
no.
the other day.
My brother yelled at me for that.
Short
he
of
says
that,
there's
no.
no way he would trade him.
I wouldn't well, either.
Yeah, but I mean, for that kind of thing, you have to at least consider it.
I think you always listen. I always listen to anything anyone wants to propose because they might have something.
Especially if it's a
worthy.
Team where those picks might be, you know, pretty high picks most of the time.
But, I mean, even if they're not, you're talking about
it's bargaining
two picks,
chips.
You know,
right.
you know
exactly.
6 picks a year for 3 years
exactly.
in the top 100.
No, you're right, Paul. I'm with you.
I don't know really how you can turn that down.
Well, my problem is, and I told you this off the air, everybody always likes to say, I mean, you give Belichick extra picks, you're talking about
Richard Seymour, Matt Light, and Deion Branch, those guys are all first and second round picks. Well, you can play the exact same game with Lawrence Maroney and Ben Watson and Marquise
guarantee you're going to get good players, but there is a guarantee that you have a quarterback that you can win with.
With Brady.
No, I'm saying if you keep Castle and you know you can win with him, there's a guarantee that you know you
and
can win.
And my other response to that was, well, why can't I? It's not, you're not getting 3 1s and 3 2s for Brady and nothing for Castle. After he wins the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure you're getting a 1 and a 2. Now, you only ended up with a 2, but you're getting something. So the net trade is not the same as the gross trade.
I hear you.
But I wouldn't trade Brady for, they'd have to knock my socks off.
I would.
Well, 3 1s and 3 2s is pretty.
Not enough for me.
Oh, wow.
I would have to listen to that.
I would, too.
I'd keep Brady and win.
Well.
Now, there's no one that would offer you 3 1s and 3 2s anyway, no. So it's kind of.
I don't know. Jay Cutler got.
Ralph
the hell did
might.
He get? 2 1s and a 2 2s or a one, 2 1s and a 2?
You know?
Yeah, it's not 3 1s and 3 2s.
It's a complicated
He's
proposal.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
That's my point.
But
if
it wasn't
Jay
even
Cutler,
close.
Just like it's not even close between Cutler and
Brady.
Well,
a lot of people think it is. I don't think it is.
Oh, anybody
a lot
thinks
of other
that
people
is
do.
Foolish.
I mean,
a lot of people think he's a very talented guy, and if you put him on a team like
oh,
the Patriots,
sure
he'd win.
Very talented, and if people think he's close to Brady, then I don't, those people are smoking something. That's ridiculous.
I'm with you.
That's
on
but I don't think he got anywhere close in terms of compensation. So it's.
But that's his point. For a guy who's not even close to get that kind of compensation
for him, and
as
a player,
as opposed to 3 1s and 3 2s.
So you're
that's
adding
close?
A 1 and 2 2s. Yes, I think that's close compared to the players. Oh, I do. You're
I
adding one
close.
More first-round pick for a guy who's maybe the greatest quarterback in history as compared to a guy who's done nothing in the league.
Well, okay, now he's done nothing
I
in
mean,
the
league. Bears gave up a lot.
He's done nothing
the Bears
in the
gave
league.
Up a lot for Cutler.
Okay.
He's put up some nice
right.
numbers at
he's
times.
He's done nothing in the league.
You do admit that, right?
What?
The Bears gave up a lot for Cutler.
I think so, but I think it was a good trade for both sides. I think one team needed the quarterback and the other team didn't want that quarterback, and they got a lot for him.
Well, yeah, then it was a steal.
Did you hear Cutler quotes or read them?
Ripping who this time?
No, he was praising Josh McDaniels.
Sounds about time.
Saying how, you know, in the short time I was with him, I could tell this guy's a great offensive mind, and they're going to do a lot with that
offense.
Tells
me
that
PR person finally got to him and said,
right.
Why don't you shut the bleep up and say something smart for a change?
Well, he should have just shut the bleep up and not said anything, because now he looks like the biggest hypocrite in the world. If you loved him that much and thought that was such a great coach with a great offense, you should have stayed there.
Touche.
Do you guys have any interest in watching that game on Sunday?
What game?
Broncos-Bears?
Oh, no.
No.
No? You don't think that?
Oh, I don't have any interest in watching Patriots-Redskins on Friday, but I'm contractually obligated to do so.
I might tune in. It depends on what
when
else
is
I'm
it?
Doing.
What time is it? Is
night
it an
game?
8 o'clock game?
Night game?
I think it's the Sunday night game.
There's a good chance I'll check in. Is there not enough good TV on?
Is there a Monday night game this week? Or no? Is that why there's a Sunday night game?
If that were week
night
one,
game.
Doc.
Sunday night game.
You know, the Sunday night game, week one,
Andy.
Sign me up. I'd be in front of the TV.
Matter
of fact,
it is the third preseason game. You
want
to rethink
much,
that answer?
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to that Thursday night opener with Pittsburgh and Tennessee. What's that? Now that's
an absolute beating.
10th?
42-6, Pittsburgh.
Yes, yeah. The 10th.
Limus Sweet and Rashard Mendenhall.
And we
lead
get
the way.
And we get the rare bonus of being able to watch the week one
like
slate on Sunday
because
we have the Monday night opener.
That's right.
So there is a Monday night game.
I get really jacked up for the start of the regular
season.
Speaking
of that, Scott in Tucson, Arizona wants to know if we'll give him a tour on Sunday the 13th. We're not even working that day, so the answer is no.
Fred says with disgust and disdain.
No, but
idiot.
This time of year, it's very tough.
No,
now, but he also says, I want to challenge Eric to a friendly kicking competition like Eric. I, too, am a former kicker, junior high school, and I believe I could beat him. Eric rolls his eyes, he says. One difference is that my junior high school team still has a football program. I'm just kidding, Eric. Don't get your panties in a bunch. Anyway, then he asked for the tour.
They're Deirdre's panties, but that's
Over-under.
He sniffs them and then puts them on.
Over-unders. Mayo, 5 sacks. Over-under.
Under.
Under.
Under. Under. Brady, 35 touchdown passes.
Under.
Push.
Push.
Didn't we say there was a...
Well,
I'm taking the under.
All right, under.
I'm
going to
take
under.
The I'm going to take the under.
Moss, 14 touchdowns.
Under.
I think that's a good number. I'll say under. That's a really good number, though.
Welker, 90 catches.
Over.
Over.
Under.
Just a good little player.
Nice little player.
All right.
That's not bad.
A nice little player.
Well, you guys need to get going. It's 1 o'clock. We'll take a break right now. When we come back, it'll just be me
all
and Kirsch
Doc. All the time.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to four of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow, how about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it, and then what a goal! Sandy Diaz!
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
2 shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
I haven't forgotten to put my mic on in a long time. So.
But you did just look down to make sure it was on.
Oh, of course I did. I just can't remember the phone number. That's my problem. Anyway, welcome back. It's me and Doc. The guys have left, and they're off to Washington, D.C. I don't know what they're going to do because I'm the guy who tells them where to go to eat. But they're staying at some airport hotel in Baltimore. They're not even... in Washington, D.C., so.
Team staying there, too?
Yeah. So that's going to stink. I know Eric was very, very disappointed. He had his whole museum schedule mapped out, you know, where he was going to go. First the art museum and then, you know, the Contemporary Museum of Nudes, you know, places like that. But now he's stuck in Baltimore. But there's still a lot of things to do in Baltimore. You can go to the Inner Harbor area. And so, you know, they'll be fine.
Go see an Orioles game.
Yeah, like I said, there's other things to do. Anyway, so they're gone. We're here. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We've got a lot of emails that we can get to between now and 2 o'clock. But I do want to remind people, now that I have your undivided attention, that starting the week of September 7th is when we go into our full season mode here on Patriots.com. Yeah. That means on Monday, Patriots Monday will be simulcast, WEEI's show. You get Bill Belichick in the afternoon around 5:30, Tom Brady first thing in the morning. You get various players in the afternoon on the Dale and Holly show. So that's on Patriots Monday, every Monday starting on September 7th. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we're back to our in-season schedule for PFW in Progress from 12 to 2. And John Rook will start with Patriot Playbook from 2 to 4 every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And he'll have guests. Who do we have lined up for him this year, Doc? Anybody?
He'll have Russell Baxter on Thursdays again, and then we'll be getting him a guest from around the league every week.
We'll get other guests, and Eric will probably help him out from time to time. And we have a new show on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock. I think we're going to call it In the Shop, but we're not sure. In the Shop or the Pro Shop Show.
Or Shop Talk.
Or Shop Talk. Is that the one that you like? Yeah, not In the Shop. Anyway, the guys from the Pro Shop will actually have their own hour show. And I think it's actually going to be fun. They're going to talk about new stuff that's coming into the Pro Shop. They'll interview vendors like our Reebok rep about what Reebok's working on. You can email and call in about questions you have about the Pro Shop. If you are international listeners, be sure that you call them and give them crap about the shipping rates to England and all that stuff. You know, all those questions that you always have for us that we can't answer, we'll have the show once a week on Tuesdays from 4 to 5, and you'll be able to ask the guys that work at the Pro Shop anything you want. And they'll have guests, like I said, from outside. So I actually think it could be an interesting show. Then you've got B-Lo, right? Fantasy Lowdown. When's that?
Thursdays, 4 to 5.
Thursdays, 4 to 5. So we need to fill the Wednesday 4 to 5 slot. What do you think? Anything? Got any ideas? I still say that we can get a player to do his own show. Even if, you know, for example, I'm just throwing a name out there. A guy like Dan Copen, who has expressed interest in radio in the past. Give him a show, you know, with a host like Brian Morey. And then every week, Copen invites another player to be on with him.
Would we call it Under Center?
It could be, yeah. Or it's a snap, something like that. But I think that would be a nice... Give a player his own show for an hour every week, you know?
Tuesday would probably be better for them than Wednesday, but we could talk about that later.
So then we move the Pro Shop show to Wednesday, you know? All right. Anyway, so that's all starting September 7th here on Patriots.com. And if any of you out there have been past players of Patriots Fantasy Forecast of Patriots.com, we've got something launching on September 3rd that's going to blow you away. One hint is that you have to be a Facebook member in order to play the game. So, you know, it's free. If you don't already have a Facebook account, seems like everybody in the world does except me. But if you don't, get one in advance of September 3rd, and you'll be able to play this game, win prizes every week with a huge grand prize. But this is going to replace Fantasy Forecast. It's Fantasy Forecast on steroids.
Wow!
Yeah, so that launches September 3rd. So there's some things coming down the pike here at Patriots.com. There's another thing that I don't want to mention yet. Want it to be a surprise. But it's going to be an exciting season off the field as well as on the field. So just thought I'd get that out of the way. All right. Let's Let's get to some email, shall we? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And Fox from Holliston is first up. He said, last night's Hard Knocks was really good with a lot of Pat stuff. I enjoyed Ocho Cinco and Belichick joking around before the game. Shows the real Bill Moore to the rest of the world. How do you think Chad would do in New England? Say he came here. Do you think Bill would tone down his antics? How do you think that would play out? Here's my deal with Ocho Cinco. There was a time when I would have loved him to come to Patriots, but I think he's gone over the edge a little bit. I think that, you know, the antics, the off-field stuff, I think he's gone a little insane, to be honest with you. He's still a great football player. There's no doubt about that, but this obsession he has with Twitter and blogging and everything else besides football, I think it's a little crazy. And I guess it just came out that he said on, I guess he's got a show on the internet, or no, yeah, on it's called on USStreams.com. He's got his own video show. And he said that he is going to circumvent the NFL's rule on no Twittering during the game by allowing one fan in the stands to be his Twitterer. Or tweeter, whatever you want to call it. And what he's going to do during the game is give that fan hand signals so the fan will know what to tweet during the game.
Don't pull an Andy.
I think it's nonsense. I think I don't want my star wide receiver worrying about coordinating hand signals with a fan during the game and giving him. I really honestly think that he's bored with football. I think football at this point, and maybe it's because he's with the Cincinnati Bengals, I really can't blame him too much, but I think he's becoming bored with the game of football. And that's not a good thing when, you know, you're so bored that you have to think of all these other things to keep you occupied. So my answer to the question, how would he do in New England, I don't want him at this point. As good as he is and as good a relationship as he might have with Bill Belichick, the time when I, you know, for me, wanting Chad Ocho Cinco on this team has passed. I think he's gone over the line a little bit with his other occupations. So that's my take on Ocho Cinco. I don't know if you agree. I really don't care if you agree. I do care if you agree. And if you don't, email us at webradio@patriots.com. So I hope I answered your question there. Who's this? James is writing in. Let's see. No, that's from a long time ago, that email. I got to update my email here. Let's see. This is Aaron from Sterling, Virginia. Aaron says, hey, PFW guys. I guess that includes Eric, okay? I have some lingering thoughts about the Bengals game. Can we petition Bill to throw away the all-out blitz plan when the opponent is less than 30 yards from the end zone? That Bengals touchdown reminded me way too much of the Giants' go-ahead TD in the Super Bowl. I was having flashbacks of that game all night and woke up the next morning in a fetal position behind the sofa. Okay, and the Chad Ocho Cinco extra point was the freaking crouton on the coleslaw, if you ask me. Glad I got to see that 300 more times on every sports station. The crouton on the coleslaw reference, you have to have been with me during the blog, because before the game I blogged that I was in line for the food service before the game, and I saw a guy take out a spoonful of coleslaw and put croutons on it. Now, the croutons were out for the Caesar salad. I don't know if this guy realized that, but I've never seen anyone put croutons on coleslaw before. So I blogged that. So that's where that's from. Anyway, to go on with Aaron's email, other notes, I really thought Pryor and Brace looked good, and I was less than excited to hear that Maroney almost couldn't make it out of the inflatable tunnel. That can't be a good sign. Again, from my blog, Maroney tripped on the way out of the inflatable helmet, and I blogged that. So Aaron was absolutely with me every step of the way during the blog. Do you think he is the starting running back or Taylor? I thought Taylor looked more like a number one in the last game, although overall they looked bad running the ball. What's up with that? Are teams stacking the box against them, or are they just missing blocks, running lanes, etc.? All right, guys, have a good day. I'll be at the Washington game tomorrow night. We'll keep my eyes open for you. I don't think that the Patriots have looked that bad running the ball, actually. They really, obviously, they haven't committed to it yet. It's not game time situation. Teams aren't scheming. The Patriots aren't scheming against teams. So it's hard to say, but, you know, I think that the offensive line has looked fine. I think with the exception in game one of Maroney still dancing too close to the line, I contend that he is making his decision too close to the line of scrimmage. He has to make that decision a lot earlier and just commit to it and go. But other than that, I think Sammy Morris has looked okay. I think Fred Taylor has looked okay. And I think even at times in the Eagles game, I mean, in the Bengals game, Maroney looked okay as well. So I think they're going to be fine. And when Kevin Falk has gotten the ball, he's averaged like six yards a carry as well as catching the ball. So I don't have any problem right now, at least, with what I'm seeing out of the Patriots running game. And as far as seeing us at the game tomorrow, I won't be there, Aaron, but keep your eyes out for Paul, Eric, and Andy. They'll, if you're in the Baltimore area tomorrow night, they'll be walking around the Inner Harbor, so you can look for them there. I know they won't be going to the ESPN Sports Zone because we went there last time. The food was terrible, and Paul almost got into a fight with a bunch of guys. So, no, he really did. We were eating, and we were right in front of the big screen, and about two rows behind us, these other guys were watching TV, and they were really into what they were watching and yelling things out. And Paul, you know, wanted to put them in their place because I guess they were incorrect with some of the things they were yelling, and Paul was going to say something. And then we told Paul, you know, don't do it, and he didn't. But he was ready to go. LT from Adelaide, he says, quick question. In relation to what you think the Patriots can do with Vince Wilfork at the end of this year, can we franchise him? What do you think would be good compensation if this was the case? Also, do you think that we will keep any of the big three unrestricted free agents in Wilfork, Seymour, or Mankins for next season? You guys are doing a great job. Can't wait for the season opener against the Bills. Well, you know, Wilfork obviously was in the papers again because of the contract. He mentioned, you know, after Eli Manning's contract and Philip Rivers. And, you know, even Nick Kazier being signed, that, you know, there's deals being made there. The team has told me that they're in a tough position right now because of next year possibly being an uncapped year in the upcoming CBA. They really don't know what the rules are. Kind of understands where they're coming from. But at the same time, other teams are getting, you know, deals done. Why can't the Patriots? And I understand where Vince is coming from, too. You know, he's got his future to worry about. But at the same time, just because some other teams are doing monster deals doesn't mean the Patriots should do it. You know, the Patriots have done a lot of things that other teams haven't done, and it's proven to be pretty good. And the Patriots have done some things that teams, you know, or haven't done some things other teams have done, and that's proved to be okay. So just because other teams are doing stuff doesn't mean the Patriots need to follow suit. And I think Wilfork realizes that. You know, he's probably speaking a little bit out of impatience. You know, when you got three kids and you're kind of settled in an area, you kind of want to, you know, get your future taken care of. And I understand that. We'll see what happens. The problem, I think, happened, and this is just me speculating. I don't know the facts here. This is just what I'm guessing from the talk that we've heard over time related to this deal or this pending deal. There was a time before Albert Haynesworth signed his deal that it seemed from the talk of from Wilfork's camp that they were getting close. And, you know, things were optimistic. Then the Haynesworth deal got done. And all of a sudden, my guess is that Wilfork's agent, you know, asked for a little bit more. And the Patriots said, no, we, you know, we're probably, you know, we're going to stick to that original deal that, you know, we threw out there. This is just me guessing. I don't know, but it just seems that the positive, optimistic talk stopped right after Haynesworth got signed. And if I'm right, I think right now the Patriots have an offer that they have put out there, and that now Wilfork's agent has come back. You know, they want a little bit more based on what Haynesworth got signed for, and the Patriots said no. And probably they're basing that no on less what the market is and more on, you know, you're not Albert Haynesworth. You know, you're not that type of player. You're a two-down player in a 3-4 system. And two-down players don't get paid that much. I'm not saying the Patriots are right in that stance. I'm guessing that that's what the stance is. And so that's where the sort of, lock is between the two of them that they can't overcome is that, you know, Wilfork's looking to get paid like a three-down player. We'll see, though. You know, with the uncapped year, just because it's called uncapped doesn't mean that, you know, it's no holds barred for all the teams. It doesn't mean that, you know, teams can go out and spend any kind of money. There's a lot of restrictions that go into making this tough for both sides, the players and management. For instance, LT, you mentioned Mankins. Because of the rule that would happen in an uncapped year, Mankins would not be an unrestricted free agent. In an uncapped free year, the years to become a free agent change from 4 to 6. So if you're in your fourth year or fifth year and you were planning on becoming an unrestricted free agent next year, and it becomes an uncapped season, you're no longer an unrestricted free agent. So that would change how the Patriots need to deal with Mankins. Seymour is another issue. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with Richard Seymour. He's getting up there. This is probably going to be his last big or semi-big contract. So, you know, I'm sure he's not going to be looking for or giving the Patriots a hometown discount. I'm sure he's going to be looking for, you know, top dollar for a defensive tackle. You know, he likes to say he's a defensive end when it comes to contract time, but he's really not, and he hasn't been a defensive end. I don't think he's got the sheer quickness to be a true defensive end in a 4-3, but he's the perfect prototypical end in a 3-4. And, you know, and he's shown that. So I don't know what they're going to do with Seymour. It's a good one. It's a good question. I think Paul has said that he thinks that, you know, they'd sooner wrap up Seymour than Wilfork. I'm not sure about that. I really don't. It's going to be an interesting year because – with the amount of 4-3 that the Patriots have been playing and the emergence of Ron Brace being drafted, you know, if this guy really shows that he can play in the middle of a 3-4, or if the Patriots show that really their personnel right now is suited to a 4-3, it could really hurt Vince Wilfork. But I do have to say that even in a 4-3 during the Bengals game, when they had Wilfork in there with Brace, I mean, there was nowhere for the Bengals to run. It was an absolute brick wall in there. It was really a great sight to see. So, you know, I'd love to see Wilfork stay with Brace and use both guys, be able to use both of them. Because Brace is quite a good athlete. He's a different frame than Wilfork. You know, he's 315 or so. But he's a lot more well-proportioned. Wilfork is more upper body or above the waist. Brace is a lot more well-proportioned, so I think he's a little bit faster in the open field than Wilfork, although Wilfork is just a monster in the middle. You can't move him. So we'll see what transpires there. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. And on the phone right now is Dave from the Philippines. Dave, how you doing?
How you doing, Fred? I'm doing all right.
Good, good.
I wanted to stick on the contract situation with the Players Union and Wilfork, since you were just talking about that. I'm interested to know, you can't be a free agent off of your rookie contract until 6 years, but if your contract was only for 4 or 5 years, what happens? Do you automatically get an extension, or does the team have the right to match any offer, or how does that actually work?
I think you become a restricted free agent, where a team can offer you a contract, but, you know, it involves draft picks and all that. Sort of how they got Wes Welker. The Patriots had to give up draft picks in order to sign Welker, and then the other team, the Miami Dolphins, had a chance to match that contract. So those guys that you're talking about that would fall in that category would become restricted free agents.
All right. Now, also, it's true, I believe, that if it's an uncapped year next year, that the teams have two franchise tags, not one?
They have two franchise tags. There's other rules, too. Okay. unless you lose a free agent, unless you lose a player to free agent, you can't sign a player to free agent. So, you know, teams don't have the ability to just go sign anyone. They have to actually lose players in order to sign them. And then there's other rules involving playoff teams where they have restrictions. The playoff teams have restrictions on them as far as signing free agents too. So there are
that's interesting.
Yeah, so there are restrictions on both sides that you know hopefully the reason why they put those restrictions in there was so, you know, they come to the table and avoid having an uncapped year. But from what I'm hearing, you know, unless there's some kind of miracle between now and next season, which, you know, people are thinking can't happen, next year will be an uncapped year.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a good thing for the league. With regards to Wilfork, you know, I think, you know, Robert Kraft said that, you know, the unsure situation is a factor in not getting deals like that done. And I certainly think it's more of a factor with a player like Wilfork, who's probably asking in the, you know, $7-9 million a year range, as opposed to a $2 million a year range for the guys we've signed already.
Well, that's
two extensions.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I mean, you can't,
you know,
even,
I think at that point you'd say, hey, I've got two franchise tags. I know with 10 contracts expiring, I'm going to lose somebody, so I'll be able to sign somebody else. Use a franchise tag on Wilfork when there's no cap, and then see what the situation is when the contract thing gets resolved, which by the next year it would really have to, or there could be a lockout, and that would be terrible for everybody.
Right, and that's a good point because, you know, even though, you know, Wilfork has a point, other teams are still doing deals, you know, again, like I said before, it doesn't mean the Patriots have to do the same thing. And like you said, you can wait. You don't have to do something now. So why not, you know, make time your friend and use the time you have. Don't make a decision because you don't know what's going to happen after this season. And like you said, you could franchise Wilfork, in which case, you know, he would make the average of the top five, you know, salaries of his position, and his position would be, you know, defensive tackles. So, you know, you add Haynesworth deal in there, that ups the ante. So, you know, he'd be making a good chunk of change, albeit only for 1 year, but it would be guaranteed. So, you know, he'd be guaranteed about $10 million.
Yeah, and then after that, you know what the landscape is, and maybe then the Patriots can be in a position to say, yeah, we can give you what you want.
Right.
You know, you had a year at $10 million, and now we know what the rules are, and the salary cap's back or it isn't back, and we have this and that. And, yeah, you want this number of millions a year, we think you're worth it, we'll give it to you.
Right.
You know, because I don't think the team wants to lose Wilfork, but I think they see that, you know, the reality is that they might, and they're doing everything they can to prepare for it, such as drafting a guy like Brace. And,
yep,
you know, trying to do the best you can to be ready, investigating other defensive strategies, putting more time into the 4-3, so your one guy in the middle isn't the absolute necessity that he is in the 3-4.
Right. You know, and I believe Wilfork when he says that, you know, he really wants to stay here. I really believe that. You know, he's a real family guy. You know, he lost his parents. Family means a lot to him. He's just had a new kid. I think it's his third. You know, his wife is really active with his career. You know, he's got roots here. He does a big charitable event around the draft every year for, you know, for diabetes, I believe. So, you know, I believe it when he says he really does want to stay here. But, you know, it's a business for him, too. So we'll see what happens. I hope they can work it out. I really do.
Yeah, me too. Hey, another quick subject. How on earth did you ever get the guys at the pro shop to go on the air for an hour? You can't even get Flanders on the phone for a minute.
No,
I've been listening to your show for 5 years. I've never heard him actually come on live.
Well,
he greets the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Right, he just doesn't answer
his
phone.
Way to go.
It's unbelievable. But no, he's going to do it, and I think it's going to be he and the guy who runs the e-commerce division of our pro shop, Jim Scollins, who he actually, Jim has a good background in the internet, so he gets all this stuff. So it'll be at least the two of them, and they'll bring on other guys from time to time. But I think, you know, they'll also, like I said, be bringing in the vendors that they work with, guys from Reebok, guys from, you know, Adidas, other people who supply merchandise to our pro shop. So it should be a pretty cool show.
And I may have just gotten a host for the show, too.
Who's that?
I don't want to say just yet. It's what you and I talked about yesterday.
Okay.
But that person seems like they're interested. They just need to clear it with their boss for other production stuff. Uh-huh. But
so you're doing business while we're doing the show. That's good.
I am. Multitasking.
Multitasking. All right, great.
That's always a good thing.
All right, Dave.
One last topic, okay. Fred, before yep. I go. Did you guys ever eat that Qdoba lunch that I told you guys to eat because I wasn't going to be there to eat it?
I don't know.
I don't think we've done it yet, but we'll...
Because you're running out of time. It was only good for a year, and you know, so I wouldn't wait too much longer.
If you send an email to webradio@patriots.com again with your information, Dave, and we'll get it locked up before the season starts.
Okay.
So you're not going to be able to use that, Dave? You're not coming back soon?
No, I actually did just today book tickets to come back to the States, so hopefully I'll get to catch up with you guys, but it won't be until the third week of the season.
All right.
So I'll send you a separate email about that, but hopefully we'll be able to catch up during the time that I'm in town.
Sounds good, Dave.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, Dave from the Philippines calling. Is that Skype? I should have asked him if he was calling on Skype.
Probably.
Yeah. Good. Let's see. Cormac from Ireland writes in, Fred, the show really missed you on Tuesday. Since the show last Thursday, the biggest Patriots event was the game against the Bengals. I've just finished listening to Tuesday's show, and somehow Paul and Andy failed to discuss this game at any stage of the show. Incredible. It's as if they forgot there hadn't been a show. Well, you know, they get busy. They have other things to talk about. That's why we need you, Fred, to put some perspective on the show. I want to hear about Brady looking terrible, about possibly the worst two-minute drill ever seen by O'Connell, and so on. Anyway, rant over. You know I love you guys. Just next time, take a step back and consider all the Pats events since the last show, not just events over the last 24 hours. Wow, Cormac scolding the show. So for not updating everybody of everything that happened since the last show.
I will say, though, they did almost a half-hour podcast on Friday after the game and talked about it a lot there, but I agree, it should have been on the show on Tuesday.
Well, what were they talking about?
They did a quick little update on the roster and then broke down some of the things that they saw from the game the night before. I mean, it was probably about a 25, 30-minute podcast.
Okay. Let's see. Brent in Switzerland writes in, hey, guys, that now includes Eric. Wow, Eric has gone up on Brent's list. That's good to know. Although, Brent, if you had seen the outfit that Eric was wearing today, you might take him off the list. I swear to God, I've never seen anyone in this millennium wearing what he wore. He had like a black shirt on with a black polka dot white tie and a gray pinstripe suit. He looked like something out of Dick Tracy.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
I mean, didn't you think that it was a little...
It's kind of mobsterish.
Yeah, but mobsterish in the 1960s, you know? The mob doesn't wear... Now the mob wears the sweatsuits. You know, they walk around in sweatsuits. Right.
Velour sweatsuits.
Yeah. My guys in the North End. They don't wear those suits anymore, you know? But anyway, Eric was wearing it. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, Brent says, it is still too early to tell what the roster will look like next week moving down to 70, but now that Hochstein is gone, who from the OL has the inside track to make the team? Lavoir has a new contract, but maybe on PUP at the beginning of the season. If Lavoir is on PUP and we have the same starting five from last year, who do you see being the backups alongside Vollmer? Also, since Springs has been injured, who may start opening day at cornerback and who is next in line after that? Well, I think that Paul really broke it down pretty well, and it's going to be the upcoming PFW that'll be out on newsstands on Tuesday. Wesley Britt, O'Callahan has a good shot of making the team. Obviously, Hodel and Ingram will be on the team for long snapping duties. Trying to think now. Vollmer will be a backup. Britt will make the team. There's the other guy that probably won't. Not O'Callahan. But I think Britt, Billy Yates, you know, are kind of your two guys that are going to, you know, be your two most versatile guys. And Vollmer will be your versatile guy at the tackle spot because, he can play both tackles. So I think they'll be pretty okay as far as depth, even without Hochstein. And then, as Andy pointed out, you know, in a pinch, even if they only kept, you know, Ingram or Hodel for the long snapping, looks like Rob Ninkovich can also long snap. So I know that's not, you know, offensive line, but it is on fourth down when they're when they're punting or whatever. Ninkovich in a pinch, if Hodel made the team and got hurt, he could actually long snap. So I think they'll be okay with Yates and Wendell is the other guy that might make the team, Wesley Britt and O'Callaghan and Vollmer. So they could probably take, you know, they'll probably keep 8 to 9 guys on the squad. I think they've kept as many as 11 in the past, but I think this year, because of what they want to do at wide receiver and all the guys they have at running back, and even tight end, I think they'll probably try to keep as little as possible at offensive line. So I'm looking at, you know, let's say 9 guys that they go to the regular season with at offensive line. On the phone right now, 508-543-7482 is Warren from the UK. Warren, how you doing?
Hello. Hey, how's things?
Great. Are you guys ready for us in late October? You going to be ready?
Oh, yeah, I got my ticket ready. I'm going to be there.
You're going to be at the game. Good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, do you live right in London or you live outside?
No, I live about 120 miles down the road.
Okay, so will you be staying in London the night before the game?
Yeah, I have a friend that lives in London, so I'm going to be there. I was there last year for the San Diego-New Orleans game as well, but
okay, cool.
You know, I hate the Chargers, but my friend's a Charger fan.
Yeah, because Saturday night there will be something going on for fans, Patriots fans, so I don't know exactly what it is yet, but, you know.
Oh, is there a gathering, yeah?
Yeah, there'll be some gathering somewhere in London proper, so, you know, I'm sure the word will get out, so just keep attached to your computer and you'll find out what's going on.
Okay, cool. A couple of questions I was going to ask was, what happened with Kelly Washington from a couple of seasons ago?
What happened to him?
Yeah, I know he's playing for Baltimore, is it now?
Right, he got cut, and, you know, I haven't heard much from him since he got cut, but, you know, he hooked on with another team, and he'll be fine. I like Kelly Washington. I was a little disappointed when they got rid of him because he's excellent on special teams. He really is.
Yeah, I remember when he pitched the Chargers right down in there, too, a couple of seasons ago from that great catch from going into the end zone on the punt.
Right.
And I was just wondering how – I saw him on the Ravens lined up as wide receiver, and I was just wondering why we didn't use him as wide receiver.
They used him a little bit.
But not.
Yeah, but not much. I don't know if the problem was, you know, ability or, you know, not learning the routes or whatnot, or just, you know, they had guys that were better simply. But, you know – he did some things when he was with Cincinnati, I believe. And, you know, he wasn't terrible. And I was really hoping for more out of him once he got here. He definitely showed it on special teams, but he never did really get a chance to show it at wide receiver. So
at the wide receiver. Yeah, we had Stolwith, Moss, Welker. We were stacked that year.
They were stacked. And also, I think with this year, with bringing in Tully Bantakane, who's really good at special teams, Eric Alexander being healthy again, you know, they've got a lot of guys on special teams, and, you know, I guess they felt that those guys, you know, showed more versatility at the other positions than Kelly Washington did at his wide receiver position.
How do you think the Chargers will fare this year?
You know, that's a good question. I think a lot of people are saying that, you know, they'll be the number one team in the AFC West.
Which isn't hard.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Philip Rivers. I think he's a good quarterback. But I think LT is definitely on the way down. And I think that defense that was a big part of that team, you know, Sean Merriman and the gang back there, I think they might be, you know, getting a little worn out too. So I'm not sure. That AFC West could turn out to be one of the weaker divisions in football this year.
I actually think Oakland will beat Chargers opening day.
Well, you know, crazier things have happened. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it because, you know, anytime the Chargers lose a game, I think it's good for the Patriots because, you know, they look to be one of the teams that will be, you know, looking for a seed. So anytime, you know, the Chargers, you know, get a game in the loss column, that's good for the Patriots.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it was good talking to you guys.
Okay. Warren.
Thanks for answering the question.
Love it when they call in from overseas, Warren in the UK. So Warren's going to be there for the game, going to be staying over London. So, yeah, I mean, if you are planning to go to the game in London and you're going to be in the city Saturday night, keep logged into Patriots.com and Twitter because we will use the various social networking means to get the word out to fans in the area about what's happening the night before the game. So plans aren't in concrete yet, but there's a couple things going back and forth, and there will definitely be something going on for Patriots fans to show their support for the team. All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. And right now the guys are going through security to get on the bus. See, this is what happens. This is the routine when we go on the road. They have five buses, and all the support staff like us, you know, the guys from IT, the doctors, Gil and Gino, we're all on bus five, and bus five boards before the players do. So even though we wouldn't be leaving like until 3:30 or whatever, we have to start boarding the bus at 1:30. It's crazy because we have to go through all the security, and they do all that before we get to the airport. So they're going through security right now, and probably strip searching Eric at this point, because if you dress like he is,
does he mind that though?
No, I think that's why he dressed like he did, because he figures if he dresses as threateningly as he can, they'll really have to strip search him, including all the cavities,
break out the gloves.
Right. So that's what's going on right now. Then they'll get on the bus, and then it's like, you know, an hour and a half of just sit there and idle chatter until you get to the airport. So it's really not that romantic. I know a lot of you say it's great, and it is. Believe me, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else, but it's not that exciting, really. You know, a lot of sitting around and waiting.
I've never traveled with the team.
You've never traveled? What about the Super Bowl?
I was always on the later
legs. Oh, you're on the day trip?
4 day.
So you've traveled. Oh, not with the team, though, right? Yeah. That's
a couple times this year, though.
You will?
Yeah, probably Denver, New Orleans.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to be doing?
Seeing what other teams do from their game presentation, music.
I think
play,
that's a good idea.
Check out the rules that they follow or don't follow, and, you know.
If only Andy was here. All right. No, that's good. That'll be fun for you.
I'll make sure I give Andy a full report on how many have scooters and mascots with cannons.
Right. Well, Denver's got the woman with the chaps on the horse. So that's kind of neat. Then they have the guy that runs around, the little mascot with the cowboy hat. But I don't remember. They don't go crazy in Denver, you know, with the scooters. The place to see that is Kansas City. And we're not going there this year. But their pregame is probably the best of all the teams. They have in Arrowhead Stadium, it's the closest thing you can get to a college atmosphere in the NFL. They've got like a live in-house band and everything. It's pretty cool. But where I can't wait to go is this new Cowboys stadium. You know, it's that thing looks unbelievable. But, you know, I'd be interested to hear what people think about this whole punting thing, because before the game that they had with the Titans, they had the Titans punter Heinrich punt, and pretty much every time in warmups he hit that scoreboard that's hanging over the middle. So they're going to have to do something about that. And, you know, I think Jerry Jones has a case, though, because when the stadium was built, or any time any NFL stadium is built, the NFL competition committee has to come in and make sure that, you know, it's indeed 100 yards and 50 yards wide and everything is up to competition standards, including anything that hangs over the stadium. So at the time it was built, if they didn't tell him, hey, that's hanging too low, well, you know, I think they're a little bit in to blame as well, and I think they should probably help the Cowboys. You know, if it's going to cost, I think, $2 million to raise that thing up 20 feet, then if, you know, some, if not all of that should be, paid for by the league, I think, you know. So anyway, let's see. Who's up next on the email? Rajiv writes in. And he's
lunch buyer.
Oh, great. Thank you, Rajiv. That was really nice. Where's Rajiv from? Do we know?
I don't know.
Does it say here? No, I don't know. Anyway, thank you for the lunch. It was much appreciated. I hope everything was all right. Did you guys watch the Jets game against the Ravens? I have a few observations about it. And by the way, Sanchez was named the starting quarterback for the Jets, so good for him. One, Sanchez looked completely lost, says Rajiv. I mean, on the close-up shots on TV, you could see it in his eyes. It looked like he did not know what was going on. I know it's his first start, but given all the hype he's getting, I was a little disappointed. So this got me thinking, if you guys remember, how did Brady do during his first few starts as compared to Sanchez? That's a good point, a good question. You know, Brady, you know, when he came in, we all know when he came in, it was after the Mo Lewis hit in that Jets game in 2001. Brady came in, and, you know, the Patriots ended up losing that game, I believe, but, you know, he didn't do too bad. He never had that lost look. Now, granted, the Patriots didn't come out firing like they do now. They didn't come out with four or five wide. They didn't come out with empty backs, you know, empty sets in the backfield. They played it fairly conservative, but then they had that San Diego game, and, you know, they fell behind, and then Brady came back, and, you know, that was his sort of his coming out where everybody realized, wow, this kid really knows what he's doing. It didn't take him long, but if you recall, there was a game that preseason where Brady, you know, played a lot in that preseason, and a lot of people, including the guys here at PFW, said that, wow, Brady has really made that jump from last year to this year. And as you recall, the year before, he was like fourth on the depth chart, and he jumped over everybody and became number two in the depth chart very quickly in camp in 2001. And it was really evident that he got it. You know, he understood the whole mental aspect of playing quarterback in the NFL. And believe it or not, and, you know, folks, that is the key in the NFL. You know, that's why the quarterback position is one of the toughest positions in all of sports. It's not because of strength or speed or arm strength. It's all about the mental aspect of being a quarterback. You know, that's what separates the great ones from the good ones. And there's a lot of good ones. But the great ones have it upstairs, and Brady had it upstairs. I think Sanchez is going to be fine. I really do. You know, he played in a pro-type offense at USC, and, you know, he didn't play a lot. You know, the number of games I think he started was 16 or something like that. You know, it wasn't a hell of a lot of games. But he, to me, has, I think, what it takes to make it in the NFL. He's got it upstairs. You know, he doesn't have the strongest arm. He's not the fastest guy, but I think he's a smart kid, and I think he'll be fine in the NFL, even though he's a Jet, and I want him to fail miserably. I think he will be fine. Two, the Ravens' D is good, says Rajiv. I mean, no Rex Ryan and some other over-the-hill players. They are flat-out good. I was really impressed with Tavares Gooden. Okay, that's good to know. And three, on the other hand, Flacco was shredding the Jets' D. The Jets' D did not look anything close to being the best in the league, as prophesied by some of the Jets' DBs. Yes, the preseason, but still that D looked anemic. Well, I hope that we're not going by the preseason, because the Patriots' defense didn't look that good against the Eagles. Remember, they almost lost that game after, you know, spotting, you know, getting up there by quite a big lead. They didn't look too good against the pass. They let up about 410 yards to the Eagles on offense. So it's tough to go based on preseason. Four, says Rajiv, different coach, different scheme, same result. Golston is a bust. He might be as good as Pierre Woods or Sean Crable as an outside linebacker. So that's good to see that he's continuing to be a bust. That would be good because we hate the Jets. And five, in regards to the Pats-Bengals game, you guys buy into the whole miscommunication that led to Brady being sacked. And what's with the O-line? Was Belichick just getting Brady battle ready? Won't count that out, knowing how Belichick works. No, I don't think Belichick wants to see his quarterback on the ground under any circumstances. The Brady pretty much admitted, and a lot of the other players alluded to, it was a miscommunication in, I think, here's what I think, you know, for example, Kazier said that they thought it was the call was a draw. That's why Kazier let his guy run in past him, because he thought it was a draw play. So Kazier did exactly what he was supposed to do if the call was a draw play. I think that they probably got the communication mixed up in the huddle, either that or, you know, something was changed at the line and there was a miscommunication with the signal. But it sounded, from what I heard from the other players and from what Bill Belichick said, that the fault lied with Brady, that he was the one that made the mistake on that play. So
Brady also said that on Dennis and Callahan on Patriots Monday, that you know, it wasn't what it looked like, and he was partly to blame for what happened.
Yeah, so, it could have been a number of things, but it's clear that the offensive linemen were thinking one thing and Brady was thinking another. So the blocking scheme wasn't the right one for that play. Kazier, I remember watching the game and going, oh, my God, Kazier looks terrible. But, in fact, he did the exact thing you're supposed to do if the call was a draw. So here's a game for you, says Rajib. Higher number of TD passing. Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, give a number to how many TDs you think each of them might throw. I think Brady will have more. I think Brady will have 36, and I think Manning will have 32. Higher rushing touchdowns, Adrian Peterson or Matt Forte? I don't know. I'll just say Peterson. And how many TDs? What will be the TD interception ratio for Brett Favre? Well, I don't think Brett Favre's going to make it to week three. I think his shoulder is going to give him trouble.
Brett Favre.
So I think that in the first two games, he's going to have a 2-2 ratio. He's going to have two touchdowns and two interceptions in his first two games, but he's going to have terrible stats, and his shoulder is going to start bothering him after week two. That's my prediction.
So. He sucks.
He really does. It's just nonsense what's going on up there. And, you know, I would like him to make it until he plays the Packers for the first time, though, just so he can hear what people think about him. Because I don't think he realizes it. I really don't. I don't know who's insulating him or enabling him and telling him, yeah, Brett, you know, you're doing the right thing. I don't know who's doing that, but people don't like what he's doing. He's just not reading the polls right. It's crazy. Phil in Salt Lake says, wait a minute, on the phone, we got a phone call, right? Mike from Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Fred. So they put you on the no-fly list?
Yeah, I got banned from the plane this week.
Okay. I want to talk for a minute about the offensive line and just, you know, I've been trying to put together a roster just like Paul has, and, you know, we've probably seen the same amount of plays considering that they don't really let you watch practice after training camp's over.
Right.
I think, you know, going by history, really, back when Stephen Neal was on PUP, I think what you're going to have is you're going to have two backup guards and one backup tackle, that being probably Vollmer. So I don't think Britt's actually going to make the roster, especially with all the potential running backs and wide receivers that you're going to want to keep.
Right. So let's just say the Patriots keep nine offensive linemen. So you got your top five in Vollmer, right? So there's six.
Yeah, and then I think you keep Brian Wendell, and I think you keep Billy Yates just because he's so good.
Okay, 7-8.
I don't think they keep nine. I think their ninth person is the person on PUP, which is what they did the last time, which would be Lavoie this year.
Right.
But what they did last time is they, when they had eight, was one of their offensive linemen was on PUP.
Right. What about, obviously Vollmer would be eligible for the practice squad, but, you know, I doubt that they would put him there. But if they kept nine, who would the next guy be? O'Callaghan, do you think?
I don't think O'Callaghan's shown enough. I think it would be Britt. I think Britt's on the bubble. I think O'Callaghan. Plus, O'Callaghan can really only play right tackle. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a tough one. And, yeah. Like, I don't know how Paul's been able to do it, but, you know, putting together this roster has been a mess.
Yeah. It's tough. You don't know what they're going to do this year, but it'll be interesting. The first cut-down date, I believe, is September 1st.
Yeah, that's what I call the IR/Foxborough flu date.
Right.
Usually we find out nothing that first cut.
Right, that just gets them down to 75.
Yeah.
And then September 5th is the second date, and that's the one where they have to get down to 53 plus all their lists.
Yeah, and obviously practice squad is the next day.
Right. Right.
But, you know, I should probably send this to Paul, actually. Is his email the same as, you know, the regular email?
No, it's a little bit different. I don't want to give it out.
Just send it to webradio@patriots.com. He'll get it.
Doctor will forward it to him. And he also gets all those emails, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good one, you guys.
All right, Mike and Sharon. Mike and Sharon, if you don't know, comes to every training camp practice that there is. He's at every game. He's a huge, huge fan. So, let's see. We were talking about earlier about this being the view. I don't like the idea about this being the male view. But anyway, Brian in Baltimore says he just wants to chime in that Eric would definitely be Whoopi Goldberg, the gay one whose career is over. Okay. And I do think Eric likes Ted Danson, too. So at one point, I think Ted Danson dated Whoopi Goldberg. So that might be, you know, a good match. And also Brian, another Brian, says that Eric has to be Hasselbeck because he is the dumb blonde. Well, he'd be the dumb blonde minus the hair, though, because he doesn't have any hair. So he's the dumb bald is what he is.
Which gets Paul off the hook.
That's true. That's true. Because, you know, people make fun of Paul because he's hanging on to the little hair that he has. But Eric has smartly given up.
So am I.
Well, that's okay. You're not on the air here, so I'm talking about those guys. Yeah, so Eric is Whoopi Goldberg or Elizabeth Hasselbeck. I guess I have to be Barbara Walters. Andy is Joy Behar. And Paul is, who is Paul again? Paul's Star Jones.
Star Jones.
Is she still on that show?
I've never watched that show once.
I haven't either. You know, trust me, I haven't. But, you know, they're on the news enough where you know the names and, you know. So, anyway. Let's see. Dave in Cambridge, there is something that I've always been curious about several years ago when Chad Jackson was here and only a rookie apparently made a fool of himself at a Patriots function. At the time, you guys were very hush-hush about exactly what he did. Now, there were 3 years removed. We talked about this a few shows ago. This must be the same person who hasn't been listening. But we talked about it at the time. We weren't hush-hush. It was at the Patriots Charitable Foundation dinner, and Chad Jackson came out and, you know, was just loud and boisterous and acting and really carrying on foolishly. And it wasn't something that a rookie should be doing, or really anybody, at that type of function. You know, and, you know, we said something about it at the time, that it showed a lack of maturity and judgment on his part. And, you know, we got criticized at the time by a lot of people saying that we're being negative and we're trying to get a guy in trouble and so on and so forth. But, hey, it turned out that, you know, that's exactly why he didn't make it in the NFL, is because he just couldn't get his head right and just wouldn't take it seriously. So, you know, it is what it is. But it wasn't anything like, you know, sexual harassment or anything like that. He was just acting a fool, and it wasn't the right place for it. You know, it was in a public setting with a lot of high rollers that were giving a lot of money to charity on behalf of the Patriots Charitable Foundation, and it wasn't the right setting to be carrying on like that. And, you know, so we said something about it.
It is what it is.
Exactly. Let's see. Let's see. Who's this right here? Two observations and a question from Brad Tangway. And Brad says, one, isn't the Ron Borges ordeal very reminiscent of John Tomasi? Trying to make a story to make their name. You guys are way too good to pay attention to either of these guys. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Ron Borges saying that he was talking to Brady and told Brady that after his hit at the Bengals game, the first thing he did was reach for his knee. Brady said, really? I didn't realize I did that. In fact, he didn't do that. I watched the tape. I watched both hits. I watched them several times. He didn't reach for his knee. The only thing he did once after one of the hits, when he was standing up, was bend over and pull up his sock. So I thought it was really unfair for Ron to, you know, plant that kind of seed into Brady's head. I just thought it was wrong. Two says, Brad, for someone outside of New England, your show gives me a far greater insight to the team than any daily paper. Well, thank you. That's the whole idea. And question of the day, which games on the schedule are you most looking forward to, worried about? I'm looking forward to them all, and I'm worried about them all. That's my nature. It's hard to say right now. I'm obviously looking forward to that Bills game. That's going to be awesome. T.O. in the house. Monday Night Football, you know, Brady's first regular season game back. I'm looking forward to that one the most right now. I'm worried about them all because I think they're all winnable. But, you know, anything can happen. So it's very nerve-wracking for me, as you can tell. All right. I do want to remind people that, of course, the game is on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I will be blogging, even though I'm not there. I'll be blogging the game, watching it on TV with all of you who are watching TV. If you can't, listen to the radio. And if you can't, the blog is the best way to follow along. I'll be doing that starting at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Patriots.com. So I will be doing the blog tomorrow, even though I'm not at the game. I'm going to still help out everybody by giving you my thoughts throughout the game. You guys will call me with things that are going on so I can include it in the blog. What is that? I have to go now? All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for hanging on with me. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Well, I heard you cry loud all the way of the sound.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.